Blog Talk Radio.
Friday. As always, I thank you for joining me this evening and listening in. As always, I count it an honor and a privilege to share this space and this time with you and to be on the airwaves with you this evening. I always tell you, I don't take it for granted, and I never do. It is always just such an honor and a privilege to be able to come on here and have a great time. And hopefully you will get something out of tonight's show. We will be having a condensed show, however, this evening. I have an obligation. I have to be at, I have somewhere I have to be this evening later on to speak at a women's retreat. So I kind of got to cut this a little bit short for the evening. But hopefully you'll get on, and some of you are on now, and you've seen the advertisement for tonight's show, and you're already listening. and you're tuned in. If not, hopefully you'll get on before the show ends. For those of you who may be listening to the replay, this still applies to you because for the month of December, I want to talk about our economic development as a people, as black women in our community. It is the 1st of December, so we need to talk about what we're going to do to end this dispensation of time strongly and start the next one, which will be 2018, strong and even better and started on the right foot, because our economic status as a people is very, very important. For any of you who have listened to me since I started the show back in, I think, April or May of this year, you know that one of the things that I'm very, very passionate about is business. I'm an entrepreneur myself. I have over 15 years experience in the entrepreneurial world. I have over 15 plus years in management experience. I have a master's degree in organizational development, and my bachelor's degree is in management. So talking about money, talking about economics, talking about business is something that I love to do. On top of that, the only passion that I have bigger than business and my children is that of black women. I have a passion for black women and their success and seeing them succeed. That is my goal, my passion, my purpose. I feel that's why I was put here on the earth, to be able to help repair, restore, uplift the black woman and help her to be able to tap into her purpose, her God-given talents and abilities. We are no longer meant to sit quiet. We are no longer meant to take a back seat to what is going on in our world. We are fastly rising. Anybody that is paying attention to what is going on when it comes to the state of black people here in America and across the world, especially here in America, if you're paying any attention at all, despite the issues that we're having when it comes to the prison population, things of that nature, the killings that are going on, one thing that is prevalent is the power that black women are beginning to take back and the stand that they are beginning to take. But really, when you look at it, it's not really getting that much play because, for one, people are always claiming that we as black people are always playing the race card. And before I get started, let me just say real quickly that I'm very passionate about this topic. I have a lot on my mind. I have a lot on my heart. I feel very strongly about some things that I've been witnessing over the last few months and the last few weeks when it comes to us as a people, especially as black women. So I may step on some toes tonight. I would apologize in advance, but I'm not really going to be sorry about it. My purpose tonight is to sound an alarm and to have a wake-up call for us in our communities. As I was saying, we as black women, we are taking back our power. We're waking up across the globe. But we don't get the recognition that we really need because, for one, people are always claiming that we as black people are always playing the race card. We as black women have never truly received the recognition that we deserved on the planet, and we don't get the recognition that we deserve just for being women. I believe that we often get overlooked because we've been made to be so strong for so long, and that what we do just comes so natural to us, and that when we stand so strong that that's what people expect from us. But then when people do look at us, we're looked at in a negative light because we're in our strength. And so, you know, people always have a negative connotation that we're being loud or that we're being bossy or that we don't know our place. And so we don't get the respect and we don't get the recognition that we deserve. But I, for one, am tired of that, and I could care less. And what I want us to do as sisters is to begin to embrace our power and stand full-fledged in that power, knowing that we've been given this position for a specific reason, to be able to take back our communities, to save the lives of our children, to save the lives of our men, the same way that we had to do back in slavery on the plantation, but this time we're doing it in a different way. And for those of you that have seen my topic for tonight, it's Finance Your Freedom, Black Girl Magic. And it's talking about black women in the entrepreneurial field, black women when it comes to our economic development and our money. And I was reading a book a few weeks ago by Bishop T.D. Jakes' newest book, I believe, that's out called SOAR. And it's basically a book dealing with economics and building economics. And I believe from what I gather from it, I'm almost through with the book, but what I've gathered from it is that it is geared toward people that have an entrepreneurial passion, those who want to start their own business, those who are in business, those who are trying to take their business to the next level. And as I was reading the book, in the book he stated that black women are leading in entrepreneurial ventures. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that. And if I recall correctly, I believe he said that black women are leading overall in entrepreneurial startups. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's what it said because that's what caught my eye the most. But what I did read for sure is in one of the latest consumer reports that came out in September, is that black women are the fastest growing group of female entrepreneurs. So even if it's not overall, just the fact that we are the number one in female entrepreneurs, we're the fastest growing group of female entrepreneurs, what does that tell you? To me, what that tells us is that history, in a way, is starting to repeat itself. Because any of you who've ever paid attention to your grandmothers or you're paying attention to your mother, you always heard of the woman having egg money or putting something to the side. Or even if she went out and she did, she took in laundry or she cleaned people's houses or she did some baking or whatever it was that she did, she always found a way to make some extra money outside of the normal. Even if she had a man in the house that was making money, sharecropping or working, whatever it was that he did, she always found a way to bring some income into the home while taking care of the children. And what we learned to label that is hustling. We weren't taught the proper way of saying, well, that's just an entrepreneurial business. She owns a business. She's an entrepreneur. She's a business owner. Because we've been so used to hustling to be able to get by, to find other ways to come across making money, that we don't learn how to profit from our passion. We don't think about the fact that we can leave our 9-to-5 and take what it is that we love to do and make that our full-time job and leave behind the stress of corporate America and leave behind the stress of dealing with people who we really don't like and are in our face all the time trying to get into our business on Monday morning. I know some of you feel me out there. Monday morning, the first thing they want to know is what did you do with your weekend, or they want to know what you did or what are you going to do on the weekend, or they want to come back and gossip to you about what went on in their family. You could really care less. I heard someone say, I think it was the speaker, Les Brown, he said that most heart attacks in America happen between hours of 8 and 9 a.m., I believe it is, because people are dreading going to a job that they hate. A lot of people are dying at young ages because they've gotten to that 27th, the 37th, whatever it is, year that they're supposed to so that they can retire, but they've stressed themselves out working for people that don't care about them for so long that they don't even get a chance to retire because they drop dead from heart disease and strokes and diabetes and all of these other stresses that come along with working in an environment that is not conducive for your well-being. But beyond the fact that we need to get out of these corporate America jobs, what are we going to do to be able to fund our communities and bring money back into our communities and funnel money back into our own communities? A lot of focus is on what's going on in the White House right now with the the president that's there and his administration and things like that. But what we need to do is we need to laser in our focus on our communities. Because truth be told, he's already been voted in. He's already in there. There's people that are working to impeach him. I saw a clip of some people today that were getting excited about the fact that some Congress or Senate, they've already moved forward on trying to work with impeachment. But does that really even matter? Because who's going to replace him? Do you really think that the person that's going to replace him is going to even care about what's going on in our neighborhoods, is going to even give more of a rat's ass of what's going to happen to us? No. So we're focusing a lot on things that we cannot control. And we're not focusing enough on the things that we can control when it comes to putting our money where our mouth is, taking what it is that we know and using it for our benefit and using it for our betterment. I was thinking earlier about the line in the movie Players Club, for any of you that have seen it, and where I believe Diane was, where she told her cousin, sometimes you have to use what you got to get what you want. And even though she was encouraging her cousin to do something that wasn't that great, the principle is really true. You have to use what you have to get what you want. For far too long, we have stood in line with our hands out, asking the children of our former slave masters to give us something that they could really care less about. How much longer are we going to continue to beg people to give us something when they don't care about us? And then, yes, we have people that sympathize with us. We have people that show empathy for our plight. We have people that want to give us handouts but don't want to give us hand-ups. And I, for one, am tired of that. We have the ability to fund whatever it is that we need in our own communities if we get our head on straight and we get our focus right and we begin to pull our resources. And when I say resources, I don't just mean money. I believe that we're coming back to a time when we're going to have to go back to the barter system. But right now, we have the opportunity to capitalize on economic development in our own communities. I'm going to read to you this article, part of this article, this consumer report that I Googled, and it talked about African women, our science, her magic. And it was written on, you can find it at www.nielsen.com, the Nielsen Report, and it was written September 21st, 2017. And it says, Black girl magic is trending on social media and in real life. What does it mean? Recently, an editor at Essence Magazine defined it as a term used to illustrate the universal awesomeness of Black women. While it started as a social media hashtag and a rallying call for Black women and girls to share images, ideas, and sources of pride in themselves and other Black females, it has also become an illustration of Black women's unique place of power at the intersection of culture, commerce, and consciousness. This report is Nielsen's seventh look at African American consumers and the second time we focused our attention on Black women. Now more than ever, African American women's consumer preferences and brand affinities are resonating across the U.S. mainstream, driving total Black spending power toward a record $1.5 trillion by 2021. That's like 4 years from now. At 24.3 million strong, Black women account for 14% of all U.S. women and 52% of all African Americans. In the midst of data chronicling her steady growth in population, income, and educational attainment, the overarching takeaway for marketers and content creators is to keep value and values top of mind when thinking about this consumer segment. Listen to this. Think about this. A core tenet of the Black girl magic is her perseverance against socioeconomic headwinds, and her gains in entrepreneurship and academic success directly contribute to her being the economic engine of the Black community. The This report offers data and insights to black women's ability to drive product categories and shift culture and make it look like magic. Another article that referenced this Nielsen report is called Color Lines, published by Race Ford, and you can find that at www.colorlines.com, and it references the Nielsen Consumer Report that was written September 21st, 2017. And it says black women are fastest growing group of female entrepreneurs. A new report from Nielsen puts numbers to black women's consumer, entrepreneurial, and advocacy power in the 21st century. The Nielsen Company's latest consumer report reveals that despite institutional barriers that disproportionately separate them from venture capital, black women's entrepreneurial strength is growing at a higher rate than other groups of women. African-American women are our science, her magic, which Nielsen released today, September 21st, uses U.S. Census data to quantify black women's power to influence the economy, media, and politics. Data from the 2015 survey of business owners shows that the number of businesses majority owned by black women grew 67% between 2007 and 2012, compared to 20% for all women and 13% for white women. Nielsen quantifies that growth at 1.5 million black women majority-owned businesses as of 2015. The report references black girl magic to describe this holistic power. While it started as a social media hashtag and rallying call for black women and girls to share images, ideas, and sources of pride in themselves and other black females, it has also become an illustration of black women's unique place of power at the intersection of culture, commerce, and consciousness. And it gives you the link to download the full report that at Nielsen.com, which I just read. But what I want you to focus on is the fact that black women are so influential and powerful that when marketing companies are thinking of who to market to, they're looking at the biggest group of consumers who have the strongest buying power. And the black spending power, as I just read, is toward a record of $1.5 trillion, is what they're estimating it to be by 2021. And who are they targeting in this group of black people? Black women. Because we make up 14% of all U.S. women, and we're over half of the population of all African Americans are black people in America. The number of businesses majority owned by black women grew 67% between 2007 and 2012. We are on the verge of something great. We have economic power, sisters. We have the ability to change and shift the economic culture in our communities like never before. And my main purpose this evening is that in 2018, I am launching my business consulting and coaching, IWBS, which is Inspired Women Business Solutions. For January 2018, I am putting out a call. I'm looking for 10 women who are serious about taking their entrepreneurial goal and vision to the next level. I'm looking for 10 women who are serious about changing the economic legacy of your family. I am looking for women who are ready to stop spending your money with other communities, spending your money with other races, and are ready to invest in yourselves and are ready to invest in your family, who are ready to invest in your community. Now, we have always been told that it takes two incomes to run a family, so we're being taken out of the homes as women, and we're not being able to be there for our children and our husbands the way that we need to be. I know that we as women are super talented. And when push comes to shove, if we have to learn how to survive, we will find how to make the money that we need. But would it be able to have the money there in case we need it instead of waiting until some big crisis comes up in our family and we're going out trying to hustle? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to take that talent, that skill, that craft that you have and be able, instead of supplement your income, to make it your income, to be able to help sustain your family, but still be able to call the shots in your own home, to be able to be there when your children wake up in the morning, to be there when they come home at school. If you have the idea that you want to be able to teach your children from home, instead of sending them into an educational system that is failing them, you can still do it and still make money at the same time. And do it from doing something that you love to do, that you were put here to do, to be able to profit from your passion, profit from your purpose. When it comes to the point that you see a sister in need in your community, instead of being able to just send out a prayer call, you can sow a seed into her life. Now, not every woman is called to be an entrepreneur. Not every woman is called to own a business. But wouldn't it be able to be nice to be able to hire women in your community? That's my goal, is to be able to give jobs to my sisters that need them, give jobs to my brothers that need them, give jobs to our youth that need them, be able to open up training centers for the people of our community to be able to sharpen their skills, whether it be technologically, whether it be skills, whatever it is that needs to be done in our community, we can finance it. So, again, I'm looking for 10 women to step up in January 2018, who are ready and willing to take the leap of faith, to take your business. Maybe you started one. You started doing something semi, a little bit on the side at home, and you're making a little bit money here and there, but there's something in you that is pulling and tugging at you that's telling you to take it a little bit further. You know this is your calling, but you just don't know where to start, or you just don't know how to pull all the pieces together. You have a few pieces here or there, but you just don't know what the next step is. I'm looking for 10 women to join me in January 2018. And if you're listening to me right now and this is you, then I need you to go to iwbusinesssolutions.com, put in your information, it'll be sent to me, and I will be in contact with you. Or you can click on the services tab at iwbusinesssolutions.com and set up an appointment. I'm offering some complimentary 30-minute coaching sessions to talk to you about your vision. Again, that's IW for Inspired Women, businesssolutions.com. I'm looking for 10 women. And I'm not looking to work for women. I'm not looking to work with women who are scared or who think you might have something or you just really want to make a little bit of extra money because you need money to shop with and you need money to get your hair done because you're tired of straining your regular budget. I'm looking for women who are serious about changing the financial landscape of their family. Women who are willing to invest in themselves and willing to invest in their passion, willing to invest in their dream. And I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not doing and I haven't done. I am a single mother with 6 children. I support my children. Two of my children don't live with me. They're not in my house, but I'm still helping them because they're just getting on their feet. I have goals and I have dreams that I want to see come to fruition in 2018, and I'm not playing with this anymore. For too long, we have allowed other people to take what we have and use it for their benefit and use it for their good. If we don't step up right now as a people, as women, and capitalize on what it is that we know, they're going to start taking it from us and using it for their benefit. They're not going to pay us what we're worth. We have women in positions and CEOs of multi-million-dollar companies, multi-billion-dollar companies that are only making six figures, and they're not paying you anything near what you're worth. You think you're worth that because you're getting stock options, and you're getting six figures, and you're getting a new car, and you're the face of the company. But whatever they're paying you, you're worth 10 times more than that, and you know it. And what we need from you as brothers is to get behind us and support us. If you, as a man, know that your woman has an entrepreneurial vision and she is capable of starting her own business, capable of running her own business so that she can have more time with your family, then get behind her. Rally with her. Encourage her to take that leap of faith. You might have to pick up a little bit more of the slack financially when it comes to pursuing her dreams, but I promise you, your family will be so much better for it if you allow her to spread her wings in that manner. We are so strong as women, and we've been strong, and we've been quiet, and we've been sitting back, and we've been dimming our light, and we've been taking back seats to people around us, to the men around us, to other women around us, because we don't value ourselves on the level that we need to value ourselves. We're taking for granted the passions and the gifts and the talents and the intuition that we have, and we're letting it go to waste. But I'm encouraging you, I'm saying no more. No more. Join me in taking your money level to the next goal, to the next level. Your money goes to the next level. You have it in you. And I have what you need to help you get to the next level. I've been doing this for a long time and didn't even really know what I was doing. People are seeking me out to ask me to help them. I'm helping a brother right now with a catering business. I was helping another brother who writes books and is a speaker. Another lady came to me. She wants me to help her with the business. Her and her husband have a vision of delivering medical supplies. So it's not about the industry. It's about the person with the passion and the vision that needs someone to help them shape it, mold it, and guide them and give them some structure to what they're trying to do. Black girl magic. Pretty soon it's just going to become such a flip term that's just used so disingenuous. And it's going to be so commonplace that it's going to lose its power. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot, too, about brothers in our community. And we have a lot of conscious brothers and stuff that run around talking about protecting the black woman and being willing to die for us. But are you willing to live for us? That's what we need from you right now. We need you to be willing to live for us. Because although we appreciate you willing to die for us, if you go out and you stand up and you get killed today, what are you leaving us with? Debt? More hardship? Having to go out and find another job to be able to support children that you left behind? Because not all of us can be the fiance of Brother Castile, who I saw just got a settlement for his death, which I'm glad she did. You can't put a price tag on a black man's life or anyone's life. I'm glad to see that she got something that will help to decrease the financial hardship that she has now without him being there to raise their children. Because that's stressful in itself, not even just having to deal with the fact of the mental anguish of seeing the man that you love killed in front of your eyes like a dog for no reason. A good brother at that, from what I understand and read about him, and the things that he did in the community and the school that he worked at. But now you're left with the stress of every day trying to make sure you keep a roof over your children's head and your own head. And for those of you that may be listening that would like to call in or chime in on the discussion, the number to call in is 563-999-3682. I'd like to hear your thoughts. Sisters, again, if you're ready and you're ready to stop sitting on that idea and you're ready to change the financial landscape of your family, you're ready to profit from your passion and your purpose, reach out to me at iwbusinesssolutions.com. I'm looking for 10 women. 10 women that are willing to step out in faith and start capitalizing on who you are. And join millionaires, billionaires. I'm talking to some of you right now, and you're a millionaire in the making. I'm one of them. I know that. You have so many things that you desire to do, but because you're so busy trying to make ends meet by working an hourly job that's taken away from your beauty on the inside and the outside because you're so tired, working for people that don't give a damn about you. They don't care anything about whether or not you have a sick child. I know what it's like to be working a 9-to-5 and not be able to show up for things for your children. They're having a play at school. You can't go because you used up your PTO because you had to take care of them when they were sick. Or your child is sick, and instead of being able to be at home and doctor on them, you got to take them to somebody's house, bundle them up and take them outside of the house. Or God forbid someone close to you gets sick and you have to take FMLA or you got to take some type of leave that's not even paying you what you're regularly used to getting because you want to spend time with someone that's near and dear to you and take care of them. Or you're watching people that are getting promoted over you, they don't know half of what you know, can't even do half of what you do, don't even sacrifice as much as you do, but because of who they know, they're getting a higher position. Or they might have a different credential than what you have, and they're getting a higher position. But you've been faithful, and you've given the company all of you. Or you just got put in a position where you're looking at your company downsizing because they're shipping your job off overseas or they're shipping your job off to another country where they can pay five people for what they're paying one of you. Or instead of being able to shut down at night when you leave the office, leaving your work there with you, you're bringing your laptop home or you're copying on a computer at work or you got a bag with you wherever you go because you got to wait till you put the children to bed after you get done cooking dinner because you got a deadline to meet. Are you tired of that yet? It's systematic slavery. You're a slave to a dollar. You're a slave to a clock. You don't even like what you do. If money was no object, time was no object, there was no limitation, and someone told you right now You could do whatever it is that you want to do, and you would profit well from it. Your family would be able to be taken care of, and you would be a millionaire. What would you do? What would you do? And you can do that. It can be done. You have to be willing to say yes to you. You have to be willing to take that step. You have to be willing to invest in you. A lot of you out there may be buying Christmas gifts right now. How many of you went Black Friday shopping? How much did you spend? How much are you going to spend? And how much of that, what you're spending, is being invested into you? How much of it is being invested back into your community? We keep giving them our money, trying to buy happiness. We keep giving them our money and our time, trying to buy freedom. We keep giving them our money and our time and our minds, trying to buy equality. While we suffer in our communities, a lot of us, we get a lot of money so that we can move out of the communities and we're not associated with where we come from. There's nothing wrong with wanting to live in a different part of town or living in a different neighborhood. But the fact is, what are you going to do about the one that you came from? I am witnessing right now where I live in this small town, gentrification at its finest. I was driving down the road the other day, and I almost broke my neck because couldn't believe what I've seen. The community where I live, in the city where I live, I'm looking at the new structure of Courtyard Marriott. Now, Marriott is a pretty nice hotel. And I'm looking at a part of town where people wouldn't even dare to walk at night. It was just bare, crazy, trash land. But they're putting up all of these nice apartment buildings and a Courtyard Marriott. They're preparing to push out the poor people. And most of those poor people happen to be people of color. Why are we not buying up these dilapidated properties in our community? Because anyone that's paying attention and knows anything about economics, eventually a developer is going to come in and want that property because they're trying to move back closer to the inner city, where things are closer. They don't have to drive so far. They should be buying that stuff from us. And we shouldn't be selling it to them pennies on a dollar. Because if they really want it and it's worth something to them, they're going to pay for it. And taking that money and flipping it back into our own communities, if we have to move someplace else, then we should be building better homes and getting better properties to be able to do our own thing. And we as women, we are leading the forefront in economic development in our communities. And we need to embrace that wholeheartedly. We shouldn't feel bad about it. And it has nothing to do with slighting our brothers or trying to one-up them in any kind of way. And any man that feels like that, shame on you. We need you to stand up. And stop beating your chest like King Kong and get some real perspective. Get a real vision. If you're a black man, and this is just my opinion, as I said, some things that I might say tonight might be offensive to you. Oh, well. You know what I'm saying? But it's real talk. This is how I feel. This is my opinion. If you have a varying opinion, then let me know. I'm more than willing to hear from you about it. But If you're a man of vision, you need to get you a woman with one. And if you don't get one, your vision is only going to go so far. You're not going to be able to take it to the next level. You need a woman in your life that can help you do that. Stop getting caught up in what her shape looks like and look into her eyes and pick her brain. Too many of you brothers out there worried about what her hips look like, what her food tastes like, what she does in the bedroom, and how she's going to look on your arm. And you got sisters out here that can make you a millionaire overnight, that can take your vision to the next level, that can take your life to the next level. But you're overlooking her. Either that or you're not ready to stand up and be a man yet. So you want to sit back in a cut and you want to whine about how you're not being treated fairly. I've been talking about this for months. It's about strategy. The reason why we should be looking at relationships is for the simple fact of strategy. Taking over. Building empires. We got people that are in our community, black people running around in our community talking about not wanting to have children or limiting the number of children that we have when we're not looking at the fact that that's our gold mine, that's our legacy. I love the fact that I have 6 children. Because I know the kind of children that I produce. I just didn't pop out babies to be having babies. And I was thinking about the fact, you know, a lot of brothers, they talk about, you know, single black women, and we should think about the women, the men that we link up with and the men that we get in relationships with. How about you brothers become worthy of us getting in relationships with you and stop pointing a finger at us because of the fact that we're actually trying to stick by black men and helping to help heal him. But we end up taking more than what we should because we're trying to help, because we're trying to love, and we're trying to be sympathetic to the plight of the black man. But when he doesn't want to grow up and he decides to move on, we're the one that's still stuck there holding the bag. But we get looked down on because we do that. We need you to have us. We need you to protect us. We need you to stand with us. We need you to support us. And not feel like this is some type of competition. This is not a competition. Because when they come for us and they come to take us out, they don't care if you're a man, woman, or child. History shows that. They weren't just lynching black men. They were lynching black women too. They were putting our babies, stomping out the brains of our babies under the foot of horses. They don't care about our ages. When they see black skin and they want to take us out, they don't care about how old you are. They don't care about how young you are. They don't care about how educated you are. They don't care about how much money you have. We have to get this together. We've got to come together. We as black women, we outnumber you black men. I think it's 5-1, 6-1. It might be even more than that now. But this has turned into a competition. We've let them turn us on each other. Again, this is my opinion, but I will stand by it with everything in me. If you are a black man who says you have a vision, who says you have a mission, you should actively be pursuing a wife. A woman with vision that can help you take that to the next level. But somewhere I think it's also been misconstrued that black men are not supposed to look for a woman. You're supposed to just sit by and wait for her to show up. As many women are as there is out there, and I don't care what you say, it's this ratchetness that is being portrayed through social media, that is a minute sector of black women. these black women that are being paraded across television and in reality TV shows, that is a minute sector of black women. That is not how we act. But the reason why they're getting the spotlight is because that is what society wants you to think about us, so that you're turned off by us, so that you don't pursue us, and that we don't get together and turn this thing upside down and turn it on its head. Stop being pacified. Stop being punctified. Stop being so narrow-minded as to think that the only thing that you need to do is to take up arms and go after our enemy. You need to build. Money talks and flapping gums walk. They're not worried about you if you don't got nothing in your pocket. You're not a threat to them by just bumping your gums. When you start acquiring land, and you start taking some of their economics away out of their stores and you start turning it around, why do you think the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us to boycott Black Fridays and told us to start boycotting their stores? Because their system is built on economics. They run off of money. Start messing with their money and they take notice. You can march all day. You can show up with your red, green, black flags all day. You can put your fist in the air all day long. But if at the end of the day you're still spending money with them because you don't have your own, as Jay-Z said, you're still a nigga. You're just like the slave on the plantation who, when the master walks by, you rolling your eyes, but your head's still down. Yeah, I might be talking a little harsh right now, but I'm trying to bring some truth and I'm trying to bring some reality to us. We don't prepare our own food. If they shut down the grocery stores, we'll starve. The current administration is doing all it can to take money out of the pockets of the poor people, to take away the government benefits from the poor people. If they cut off your Social Security right now, what are you going to do? If they take away your food stamps right now, what are you going to do? If they take away the WIC program, what are you going to do? If they take away the Medicaid and the Medicare, what are you going to do? We have people in our communities that still practice homeopathic remedies. We have women in our community right now that still know the art of herbs, healing herbs, wellness. But what are we going to do? Because if they get mad at us and they decide to come after us, yeah, life for a life. But at the end of the day, those of us that are still left standing, because I plan to be one of those left standing, what are we going to do? How are we going to finance our communities? You can go through some of our closets right now and look at our name brand shoes, look at our name brand clothes. How much are we spending on hair, nails, bags, cars, houses that we really don't even live in? We just got big houses so other people can see what we got, what we did. What are we doing with our money? How can we finance our freedom? We talk good talk, but when are we going to start walking the walk? Our babies need us. What are we leaving for them? What legacy are we leaving for them? My 19-year-old son called me today, because me and my children, we talk about this all the time. I'm constantly asking them, what's on your brain right now? What idea are you coming up with? Where is it that you want to go? What do you want to do? I don't ask them, where do you want to, I ask them, you know, do you want to go to college? If you want to go to college, what do you want to go to college for? I'm not on them about what kind of job do you want to have 3 years from now. Why? Because I want them to think outside of the box. So I'm asking them, what is it that you want to do? Where is it that you want to go? Where do you want to put your mind? And all of my children talk about being in business for themselves, talk about using their skills and their talents. As I was saying, my 19-year-old son called me today. He was like, Mom, I'm really tired of working for other people. I'm tired of always hunting for a job that I might like, and the only reason I'm going to it is because of the dollar amount that they give me. And so then I'm working every day just to pay bills, just to get by. Why? To start the cycle all over again. He gets it. And the thing that made me the angriest is because I should be in a better position than I am right now, so he doesn't even have to do that, where I could hire him to work for me. My girls I've done that with a little bit because they're not as old. They're not, you know, out on their own right now, so they don't need as much money to be able to finance themselves. But I know I have the talent and the skill and the God-given ability to be a lot farther than I am right now, where I should be able to employ my own children and be able to pass down a family business to them. We have got to wake up. They're killing us through the food. They're killing us through the water. They're killing us through nonsense that they're putting on social media, on TV. They're killing our brain cells. But we can no longer point the finger out if we're not doing anything, we're not actively participating and getting free. And we're not starting at our own addresses. We're not going within to see where we can contribute to the rise of our people. Yeah, a lot of us criticize black-owned businesses because of the simple fact that we don't do this right and we don't do that right and we don't provide this and we don't provide that. But again, if you have never tried to open up a business, do not be so quick to judge, because we have a harder time at it, because 9 times out of 10, we have to learn as we go. No one comes along and teaches us the things that we should know or we don't know. And that is why I'm taking it as my responsibility to be able to teach what I do know to those who are willing to take the next step to get real about financing their freedom. I love business. I study business. I almost feel like it's in my DNA. And I'm so passionate about helping people live the type of life that they want to live by tapping into their talent and their purpose and using it. Those of you who know the Bible said that your gift will make room for you. But we're so quick and we're so used to just hanging on to what we know, even if it's killing us, that we're not willing to take the leap of faith. You got a good job, but hold on to it. Stressing you out. You're working overtime so you don't even know what your children are doing. You're hoping they're at home. If they are at home, they don't really even know you because they hardly see you. You get home just in time enough to put something on the table, kiss them on the head, hope they did their homework. Wake up just in time enough to make sure that you're dropping them off at school or that they catch the bus. Weekend comes, you're so exhausted if you don't have to work. That's not living life. That's existing. And who wants to just exist? Chess we're playing. The same marbles. We got to get real about life. We have what we need, and we're in the right time to use it. Again, as I said, tonight's show was not going to be that long. because I have an engagement I have to get to. But if you know women who have an entrepreneurial desire or who have started their own businesses, or women who want to start their own business, they just don't know exactly where to start, please send them to iwbusinesssolutions.com. I'm looking for 10 women for the month of January who are ready to take this to the next level. Women who are sick and tired of being sick and tired, scraping, having just enough to get by. It's time out for that. I know we have it in us. But now we got to get it out of us. We have to put some action behind our words. Sisters, we can't play small anymore. We can't wait for people to get in positions anymore. Now, some of you brothers may take a position with what I'm saying. And again, I'm not talking about pitting us against each other as men or women. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, as the old folks used to say sometimes, you either need to shit or get off the pot. Our children are not being educated properly. Our children are not being fed properly. Our communities are going to hell in a handbasket. Economically, we're being raped. We have the opportunity to do something about it, and it's time for us to stand up and do something about it. If we as women have to continue to do what we've done for a long time and take the lead, and we have the advantage, then take it. But brothers, that doesn't mean that we're leaving you out. If you have a woman that's strong and she can get something done, stand with her, help her get it done. It doesn't make you any less of a man if your woman has an entrepreneurial or a business idea that she can use to be able to further your family. And she just happens to make more money at it than you, then support her. Because that means when she starts to bring in more money, you should be a man of vision so that you can jump on the bandwagon too. Because I'm telling you, if I had a husband or I had a man and we're doing this together, anybody that I ever bring in my life, one of the first things that I always ask them is, what is it you want to do? What is your vision? And I automatically go to work on trying to help him to fulfill that and bring that into fruition, because that's how we roll. I don't want my man being on a plantation 9 to 5. I don't want to see him coming home with stress on his face because he got to go sit around these people all day that don't give a damn about him, and he's getting paid peanuts and he's worth more than that. And he got to listen to little Tom and he got to listen to little Jane tell him what to do or talk to him crazy. That's not going down on my watch. So tell me what it is you want to do, how we can get this money, how we can build our community, how we can put money back into our community, how we can hire our children, how we can leave a legacy for our children, how we can get them to start their own businesses. That's what we're on. So, brothers, if you got a woman that's in your life, and if you don't have one, you need to be looking for one. I'm not going to quit saying that, because that's my passion, that's my heart. If you're a man with vision and you don't have a woman by your side, you need to find you one, because you will plateau, because you can't do it by yourself. You're the key, she's the lock. You need to be together. We as black women, we are added advantage right now. That's just what it is. That's just how it is. How can we capitalize on that? This is not a competition. It's about how we can come together. Who's next? When you have a relay, everybody is positioned where their strength is. You don't see people on the same team when they win and be like, I don't know why you think you're better than me just because you got to run the last leg or you got to run the first leg or you got to run this. No, it's about positioning yourself strategically for the win. And that's what we need to be focused on as couples in our community. That's what we need to be talking about. As I read already, black women, we are leading any other group of women in developing businesses. We as black people are trending toward having spending power into the trillions by 2021 with their marketing to us. But we're falling in the trap. We're not being wise about what we buy and how we buy it. So again, I'm looking for 10 women who are willing and ready to take their entrepreneurial vision to the next level. Go to iwbusinesssolutions.com, enter in your information, and I will be in contact with you. Or go to the services tab and schedule a 30-minute consultation with me. This consultation is complimentary, so I can talk with you. And we can talk about your vision. We can talk about your dream. Brothers, step it up. Protect us. As I was talking to one of my cousins today, I was telling her, I was like, you know, I think Sister Sandra Bland was a litmus test. Because, yeah, they're going to let us get so far. They're going to clap their hands at the black girl magic. They're going to take it in. They're going to celebrate with us for a little bit, but when it starts to get real and we start taking money from their pockets for real, they're going to come after us too. They're already coming after our wombs with Planned Parenthood because they don't want us to have any children. They're already coming at us in our homes because they don't want the black man there. That's why we also have to be wise about what we do and how we do it. Because we don't want to get to the point where we're getting so, we're doing so well that we start to think we don't need a man. We don't need our brothers because that's another trick. They'll start playing with us. And then they'll start coming at the brothers, oh, she thinks she's better than you because she's making money and she's doing her thing. So they start tapping into that ego and they start playing with your head. And so you don't want to look at us anymore because you don't think you're adequate. We've never said that. We know what we're dealing with. A real woman, a real queen knows what she's dealing with. She knows that the odds are stacked. She knows that the game is being played. She knows what the trick is. She's not going to leave you out there, but at the same time, you can't play with her. She's not going to sit up there and take you laying around and playing around and whining. We're not taking that anymore. Yeah, we understood that they did you wrong. We understood that you're an endangered species. We understood that they're coming at you, but what are you going to do about it? Can you protect me while I'm trying to make these moves to better us? Can you help me get that peace that I need so that my mind can create? We as women, we're the ground. We're the receivers. We're asking for the seed to be planted so that we can grow it. There's magic in our earth. We're the mother of civilization. We're the goddess of the universe. Nothing gets past us. You're not looking at what you have. We're not looking at what we have. You see these white dudes just scooping us up? They're not dumb. It ain't just about how we look. It's about what's in our head and in our heart and the ability that we have to take something and make it out of nothing. We can take something out of nothing. But you're also focused on our attitudes and why we come at you so strong and we don't know our place. I find it unfortunate that there's a lot of sisters out there that are single because brothers just don't know how to take them. They don't know how to handle them. Not in a way of that you have to bully us or put us down, but that we push you to be better, and brothers ain't ready for that. They take it as she's nagging, or but she wants the best for you. She's not going to let you sleep. She's not going to let you sit. No brother that comes in my atmosphere, no brother that comes around me, if they're not ready to get with the program, they can't stay around me long, and they just drop off. Because I'm automatically holding up a mirror, because I see the God and I see the King, and I need you to see it too. I don't have time to play games. I don't have time to pacify you. I don't have time to put a breast in your mouth and hope you feel better. I don't have time to stroke your ego. You're a black man. You're a good black man. And I'm not saying this condescendingly. I'm just saying some real talk because we don't have time anymore to keep playing these games. We got other countries threatening to bomb the United States because it's full to send a White House. But we're constantly talking about what is he doing, what he's doing, but what are you doing to prepare? You can't control how much this dude tweets. You can't control how much this dude runs his mouth. You can't control the policies that he's trying to pass. But what you can control is if you know something about defense. Are you training people in your community? If you know something about gardening, are you training? In your homes, are you training your families? Not just to prepare to die or to take up a gun and shoot, but are you preparing them to be able to think with their minds? To get outside of the trap, to get outside the status quo. To prepare for the future. We don't know how long we live. We don't know that. We can't determine that. But how do you know you won't get to 70, 75? Our children won't get to 70, 75. What are we leaving them? What are we teaching them? I think there's a teaching that goes something to similar like, why does he fear now that he's a grown man or something like that? And this goes to say, because the devil put fear in him when he was a little boy. We can't put fear in our children. We have to put knowledge in our children. Our children are not born with the same amount of fear that we had, and we were not born with the same amount of fear that our parents had. The knowledge and the strength is increasing day by day. These children that are coming into this world right now are geniuses. We might not be suppressing it by sending them to school, but are we sending them to the schools and institutions of our oppressor, but are we feeding it? Properly feeding it? So as I said, I wasn't going to be on here long tonight, but this is my cry. This is my heart, this is my passion, this is what I'm speaking. I'm sounding the alarm for us to get on the page of economic development. and begin to fight to have our own. We don't even really got to fight. We just got to allow it to happen. We have to get on the same page as a people. We're not always going to see eye to eye on everything because of different philosophies that we've adopted and paradigms that we have. But the one thing that we can agree on is that we're in crisis. And the second thing that we can agree on is that we need a solution. And whether your solution comes as a 5-cent solution, whether your solution comes as a $100 solution, whether your solution comes as a $1,000 solution, I don't care what it is, act on it. If it's for the betterment of our people, act on it. Do something about it. It's going to cost you something. Be willing to pay the price. I think some of us are more willing to give up our lives than we're willing to give up our money. Some dead presidents of our former oppressors. But we'll go lay down. I stand on the front line at a march or a rally, but somebody asks you to invest $50 in a business for one of your people. Oh, no, we can't do that. Black men, stop disrespecting us. Support us. Encourage us. As I said before, if you're a man out there and you're listening and you know that your woman, the woman in your life, or women in your life, they have an entrepreneurial mindset or they have a venture that they would really like to get into, send them to me, iwbusinesssolutions.com. Encourage them. Sow into their dream because you can only benefit from it. I really think that men have this misconception that we as women will do something different. We're not like men. You see a lot of brothers, they get to a certain status in life and they leave the woman that they started with, that helped them to get where they are. Honestly speaking, we as women, we're not like that. You help us to achieve a dream, we're not going to be like, oh, you know, I got this PhD now, I'm making some money, I'm starting my own business, I'm making 6 figures now, I'm making 7 figures now, yeah, I'm about to leave him because he, no, we're not going to do that. We don't do that. What you give us, you will get back tenfold. So be careful what it is that you give us. But if you're ready to see the economic landscape of change for us as a people, respect, protect, and uplift the black woman. She's your garden. Sisters, don't be afraid to take that leap. Don't be afraid to step out on your vision. You are given it for a reason. We are being summoned right now by the universe to stand up in our power. That is what's happening. We are being awakened by the masses, but we have to band together. We can't let them trick us anymore. We can't let them use us anymore. Same way they use us on a plantation to nurse their children, to nurse their sick, to cook their food, to keep their houses clean, even to keep the other slaves in line, even if we weren't doing it directly, by our presence, by the subtle authority we had and just being who we are as women. We have the power to change this thing and turn it upside down overnight. We have to know our worth, know our value, and carry ourselves in a way that demands the respect that we deserve. We can take it And it ain't about being loud, boisterous, combative, none of that. None of that. All we got to do is be the queens that we are and handle our business and step up and step out. 10 women, looking for just 10. That are willing to step forward and build what's been placed in their heart, that are willing to and are ready to profit from their passion and from their purpose. So I'm going to be on here about another 10 minutes. We'll be ending half an hour early this evening so that I can make it to the speaking engagement. But if you have any comments or questions, please submit those. Or if you have submitted a comment, I am not able to get to it. I can't read it. But if you want to call in quickly, please do so at 563-999-3682. Again, those of you who are ready to join me at Inspired Women Business Solutions, please go to iwbusinesssolutions.com. Submit your information that will be in contact with you. Or you can go ahead and schedule a complimentary 30-minute consultation discovery call by going to the services button and just choosing from the appointment times that are available on that tab. I'm so serious. 2018 is a game changer for me. I will not be in poverty anymore. I will not be broke anymore. I will make the money that I desire to make, and I will live the type of life that I desire to live for myself and for my children. My children will be in a different environment where they will be able to use their brain power and their thinking will expand, and they will be able to use their gifts and talents to profit. My children will not be stuck in the rat race of a 9-to-5, barely trying to make ends meet. I'm too powerful and I'm too smart for that. And because I know the type of ground my seed comes from, I know they're too powerful and too intelligent for that. And I know the people that I come from are too smart, too powerful, and too intelligent for that. And as I said, not every person is meant to be an entrepreneur. But I want to be able to offer employment to my people where they're getting paid fairly and being treated fairly, and they're learning while they work. And it goes back to building my community and building up my people. It could be done, and it doesn't take a long time. But we are up against the clock. We got to think about our babies. We even got to think about the seasoned people in our communities. They shouldn't have to want for anything. They shouldn't be having to live off of fixed incomes, choosing whether they're going to eat, pay a light bill, or medication. Not in the black community. The Madeas, the Big Mamas, the Pawpaws, none of that. They should be well taken care of. Anything they need and they ask for, they should have. Because they paved the way for us to be here. We have to get back to that tradition of honoring the seasoned people in our communities. Embracing them. I love any time I get the chance to be around a seasoned black woman, I'm there. She could talk my ear off if she wants to, because I want to hear everything she has to say, because it's wisdom. We need to be building centers in our communities to take care of our elderly. They shouldn't have to go to these filthy nursing homes where they're being mistreated by people. Or they're getting put up in these homes that are basically bilking the government for thousands of dollars to house them, but they're not really adequately housing them. There's so much that we need in our community, and we have the ability to finance it if we do the right thing. So I hope that you got something out of what I've said this evening, and that even if you're not considering reaching out to me to help you build your business, but that you're thinking about what it is that you can do to be able to become more economically stable and put more money back into our communities. Not just sisters, but brothers too. If you want to reach out to me as well, any of you brothers, IWBusinessSolutions.com. I'm more than willing to work with you too. I'll be on a little bit of a different scale, but we got to get this done. We got to step it up. We have to build. As I said, just watching the gentrification that is taking place around us, the handwriting is on the wall. And we can keep talking about it and pointing fingers and calling people out their names all we want to. At the end of the day, a devil is still the devil. He ain't gone. A snake is still a snake. A zebra is still a zebra. It's not going to change the stripes. But we all have a responsibility to start at our own address first. We all have a responsibility to do what we're put here to do first and take responsibility for that. And I know that we can do it. I have faith in us as a people. But the faster, I should say the sooner that we get on the ball and start doing what we need to do, the better. We're already behind. But I'm more concerned, if anything, about the legacy that we're leaving for our children and for our babies. We don't have the fear anymore. We don't have to be afraid. And we not only have the physical strength and prowess, but we also have the mental fortitude and the spiritual fortitude to get this done. We know the truth. We know how to get it done. We have the ability. So as always, I thank you for joining me tonight, and my hope and my prayer is that you've gotten something out of what I've said, and I pray that you'll join me next week, as again, as I said, for the month of December, I do want to talk about economics and the economic status of our community and different things that we can do to prepare ourselves and build ourselves economically. Because when we start to tap into them pockets, they'll begin to take more notice. We've been marching and protesting and calling people out and pointing the fingers and letting them know what's up for years. But the one thing that we lack in a lot is when it comes to our money. All they got to do is dangle a new contraption in front of us, and we're on it. Buying shoes, new bag, all of that. It's a trick. Stay woke. So, again, this has been Free Talk Friday, sister to sister. Your host, Shannon C. Harris, on the Initiative Radio Network. Pray that you will enjoy the rest of your evening, that you will enjoy your weekend, that you'll show love to someone and show love to yourself. And as always, thank you for joining me, and go in peace, love, and light. Until next time, God bless.